إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ما شاء الله we will continue with the explanation of the book منهج السالكين للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ياسر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى The shift is from Urdim Ashab al-Furud wa al-Asabat wa al-Dawud al-Kham wa hum man siwa al-Madkurin The shift says in the absence of those who are entitled to the Furud that is one over two one over three, one over four, one over six, two over three, one over eight. These are the furud. So in the absence of Ashab al-Furud, those who are entitled to take the furud, wala asabat, and there are no asabat, will not have al-asabat, بالنفس عند العصبة بالغيب ودموع this to go so what is the ذوي الأرحام ذوي الأرحام would be the one to inherit we mentioned when we were discussing a rabt that if there is a left over, so to say, from the bequest. After those who are entitled to the shares are taking their shares, they will still have residue. This, according to the Wazir opinion, which is the view of the Hanabila, likewise the Hanafiya, likewise the Shafi'iya, when the government is not dealing with the property of the people in the right way. So the Shafi'iyya of the opinion as well that the residue will be returned to Ashab al-Furud. Take for instance He said if somebody dies and he leaves a mother and let's say a sister, for instance, we know the mother is going to take one over three. What is the sister going to take? One over, nothing, not maternal sister now. What is the inheritance of a paternal sister or a full sister? What is the inheritance of the mother in the absence of two siblings and in the absence of a child. One of our three. Would there be anything left? Huh? Would there be anything left? So in a situation like this, if we say the mother is going to take one of three, and the sister is going to take half, so what should be the FDM? Six. So what is the what is called? One of three of six. Huh? Two. What is the one of three? One of half of the six. Three. So how are they going to share it? What should be left? One. So how are they going to do it? So they share the same ratio. So how are they going to do it to get it right? Now this involves the mathematical aspect, as I said. So the right view is that those who are having fruit will return whatever is left back to them according to their inheritance, according to their share. That's how we do it. So at times this may involve what they call the sehul mas'ala. That is, you have to do the mas'ala. That is, the sehul mas'ala, that is, when what you have, the shares, for instance, cannot be divided without fraction. There will be fraction. If they take their share, there will what? There will be fraction. So in this case, you do the sehul mas'ala. So you arrange it in such a way that when it is divided, there won't be any fraction. So this may happen in what? In Arad. It may also happen in Al-Munasakhat. That is when you have a lot of people, maybe somebody dies, and leaves behind his heirs, those who inherit him. Before they share the bequest, one of the heirs dies again. And those who are to share his own bequest are the same people who are to share the bequest of the first person. So it happens like this. And at times, it may be that some of those who share his own bequest, they are not among the people that will share the bequest of the first person. How does this play? So all this we find in lengthy books of inheritance where they are fully discussed. So at times we'll have to redo the mas'ala, if they call this old mas'ala. If you are not redoing it, they call this what? Ta'asim al-mas'ala. That is the way it is, where we do it. But the thing, you have to arrange it in such a way that there are only fractions. And this you may find in what? In what? You may find in what? In al-mutasakhat. You may find likewise, at times only in the shares of the old Quran, you find it here. So what I'm trying to say in essence is that it's what they call the sehul al-mas'ala. That is the mas'ala, the question at hand. So at times it will not, be able to share it easily. You will not be able to share it easily. Maybe you will have to multiply maybe the number of the eggs that are supposed to share something. For instance, to multiply the egg with what? With? Huh? Other than the wish with? With what? That is the number. Take for instance you want to share three things between four people. Three things between four people. I will share this. Okay. So that is the asking masala, that is the ask you, and what the other will use. You get it now? If you do that, if you make it whole, there won't be what? Any fraction. There won't be any fraction, so you can easily share it. So this is what they call what? We have the siham that are in Katura, that is the shears that are in Katura, that have fractions, and the siham that are what? That are in Katima, the ones that are easily divided, and one that are what? Munkafira, the ones that have fractions. So the ones that have fractions, so you have to redo it in such a way that there won't be any fraction. So, and this you do by maybe multiplying the other rules or the waqfu of the rules, that is maybe half of each, something like that, with the aslul mas'ala. So when you do that, it gives you a number that will not be fraction, so to say. Then with that you'll be able to watch to share it. So when you go to lengthy books, you may come across this, as I said. So if I'm reading Ashab al-Furuj, in the absence of Ashab al-Furuj, those that are supposed to take some of the Asobat and the Asobat, what is the Zawul Arham? The Zawul Arham, what really wants to inherit for women, so why not Kuru? The other than those people that have been mentioned. So in the case of Rabb, I mentioned last week that most scholars, they are of the opinion that when we have more the shares that are available and not what are not up to the answer to the portions. So when there is what, there is reduction in Siham, there is reduction in the shares, that you need to watch. The other thing should answer, that is the portions of each of the inheritors, watch, will increase, and this will be in accordance with their shares. Are you with me? Uh-huh. And most of the time, this will be, it will not be more than what? The babies will always be something like this. Will always be something like what? Six, most of the time. And in fact, some will say what? It cannot go beyond six. Unless if you are including that of the husband, or sorry, including that of the wife. If the wife is 1/8, you know. Or 1/4, it depends. So most scholars are of the opinion that when you are talking about Arab, you don't include the wife and the husband. So what you do first is that you remove the share of the wife or the husband. Then what is left is what you do, what you now share among the remaining Ashab al-Furuj. If there is something left, then in that case you do it on them. You do rot on them. You still share it back to them according to what? To their shares. How this is played. And if that is the case, it will be more than six. So maybe six, they are able to be reduced to less than two. If one person is supposed to take 1/6, the other person is supposed to take 1/6. Are you with me? Like somebody who dies leaves behind a mother and a maternal brother. What is the share of the mother? Huh? 1/3 in a situation like this, because it's just one maternal brother. Huh? Are you with me? What is the share of the Makala brother?
1/2.
1/6 and 1/3. What is the help here?
6.
So 1/6, if it is 6, 1/3 of 6 is what?
2.
2, are we? 1/6 is what? 1/6 of 6 is what?
1.
1 plus 2? 3. In this, you are going to reduce everything to what? 3. You know, the mother is supposed to take what? 2. Because 1/3 of 6 is what?
2.
So the mother is supposed to take 2. Why the maternal is supposed to take what?
1.
So you reduce it to what? Everything to 3 now. So just give this the mother 2, you give the maternal brother 1. You see, from 6 to what?
To 3.
From 6 to 3. Okay, let somebody die for years and now, and the person leaves behind a wife and a mother. He leaves behind a wife and leaves behind a mother. How do you do that? Let's say the person leaves 20,000 naira. Let's convert it to money now. He leaves behind the wife and he leaves behind. Okay, let's say the person leaves 8,000 naira. 8,000 naira. Are you with me? 8880. I'm just 8,000 naira. Okay. He leaves behind a wife. Just a wife and what? And a mother. Who can share it? What is the wife taking?
1/4.
1/4. Eh? That means 4 is the bills.
1/4.
Okay. 1/4 of 8,000 is what?
2,000.
Remaining what?
6,000.
Who is left? The mother. What is the mother supposed to take out of the... Now, we have what? We have 6,000 left. Eh? So, now we have... Since we don't do what to on the wife, don't forget, we don't do what. It's like now we are having what? The mother in loan. Which what?
To 6,000.
So, and the mother is supposed to take 1/3. Are you with me? So, meaning she'll be the one to take everything now. She'll be the one to take everything. Because there is not any other person. This way. So, in the first example, we have what? If you have a wife or a husband and another person, you first deal with that of the husband or that of the wife first. Then you come to the other. Are you with me? Some scholars will bring everything together. They bring us everything together the way we've been doing. Raddu, we don't do Raddu on the husband and wife according to what most scholars have done. I said after the Salah last week that Sheikh Abdurrahman bin Nasser Saad, the author of this book, some of his books, said we should do Raddu. Just as we do Aul, if Aul, that is increased in the shares, if the husband and the wife can be accepted, then they should also benefit if there is what? If there is the other in Amsiba. Are you with me? But what most scholars are upon is that no, if there is the other in Amsiba, they will not benefit. But if there is what reduction in the Amsiba in the portions, they will be accepted. So this is what most scholars are upon. Now if you go to books of Miraj, Faraj. You see a lot of examples on the road, and when there is going to be Tashay al-Mas'al as well in some of the examples of road. But who going to do this? The author, after that, moved towards Zawul al-Arham. He said, those scholars who say you do rajj to the Ashab al-Furuj, when there are Ashab al-Furuj, in the absence of Al-Asaba, in the absence of Al-Asaba, and when there is something left that is residue, those who believe you do rajj, they also believe that in the absence of Zawul al-Furuj, you go to Zawul al-Arham. Zawul al-Arham, as we mentioned last week, is a group that ordinarily they don't have shield. They don't have shield. Maybe there are females that are connected to the deceased, but they are not given something. They are not given, like the aunt, for instance. The paternal aunt, the maternal aunt, they are not what the Zawul al-Arham. They are connected to the deceased through the father or through the mother of the deceased, but they are not. They are not the officials. Are you with me? So likewise, the daughter or the son of the aunt and the son of, are you with me? The son or the daughter of the aunt, the she partner, the son of the paternal aunt or the maternal aunt, these people are not going to inherit. Likewise, the daughter of the daughter, the daughter of the daughter will not inherit. The father of the mother of the deceased will not inherit. All these people fall under the rule of time. Now, when we talk about the Zawul al-Arham in anything, in miras, in fara'id, these are people we are talking about. But when we talk about the Zawul al-Arham generally, in broader, it includes even the parents. In the Zawul al-Arham, it includes the parents, the sisters, the brothers, the children. This is in broader term. I mentioned this last week. Likewise, when we talk about the Zawul al-Arham, there are those that are maharim and there are those who are not maharim. Those that are maharim, these are those that you cannot marry forever. And those who are not maharim among the Zawul al-Arham, these are people that you can marry. This is another angle, looking at what the Zawul al-Arham. Are you with me? Now, so it is important that we take note of things like this. Then scholars will also talk about the Zawul al-Arham, which ones is composed on you to watch, to connect, and which one is also mustahab for you to connect. So the ones that are your mahari, that you cannot marry forever, if you are a male, you can't marry her, and if you are a female, you cannot marry him. These are what the Zawul Mahari, sorry, the Mahari. So they are what the Mahari. Those, these people, they said it is compulsory on you to connect them. It is compulsory for you to connect them according to the Hanafi. Why such scholars are of the opinion that no, it is compulsory on you to connect all the Mahari, that is the males among them, or those, if you are a female, the females among them. If you are male, we talk about those that you cannot marry forever. Those that you can marry, if they are male to male, the faith is compulsory. Take for instance, my aunt, I can't marry her forever. She cannot marry me forever. So it is compulsory on me, according to all the scholars, to connect her. But we say connect her, be nice to her, visit her, and things like that. But her daughter, is not among what?
She is not among the people that it is compulsory for me to connect.
Because she's a female.
She's somebody I can marry. But her son, if her son were to be a female, can I marry her? Yes. I can marry a son. Or if the son were to be a female. Are you with me? So, some say it's compulsory to commit the son. Some say it's Mr. Hub, just like what? The daughter. As for the daughter, our daughter is a friend. Because our daughter is the position of somebody I can marry. So in this case, I will be dealing with what? Ajnabiyya. You start to get my point. Your aunt now, your aunt, our daughter, is not somebody that you say you are connecting, calling her, visiting her, and things like that. Because she's the position of someone you can marry. But her son, according to some scholars, it is most hard for you to connect her son. Some say it is compulsory. But at first, all of them agree that it is compulsory for you to connect her. Are you with me? Because she is in a position of somebody that you cannot marry forever. But our daughter is not like that. Our daughter is not like that. Our daughter is in the position of somebody you can marry. Our son ordinarily would have been in the position of somebody that you can marry. But for him to know, so it is what? Must have for you to connect him. Some said it is compulsory on you to connect him too. Because he's somebody that you cannot marry. So this is the word as hand. So let's continue with what the author has said. That when you must have a guru or a sabbat, what is the word as hand, your own mantu and of Korean. They are those that are different from the people that you have mentioned. وَيُنَزَّلُونَ مَنْزِلَةَ مَنْ أَبْلَوْ بِهِ. They will be put in the position of those that they have connected, they've been connected, to the deceased through them. You can take for instance, my aunt, the son, cannot inherit me, correct? Even my aunt cannot inherit me. My aunt cannot inherit me. So, but in the absence of the old Puru, my aunt can inherit. The daughter can inherit. The son can inherit. In the absence of what? Of the old Puru. Same thing. Is applicable to the son of my sister. My sister can inherit me, correct? But a son or a daughter cannot inherit me. Because they are among the will and hand that cannot inherit. So, but in the absence of the people that have sharing, the son, the daughter, can what occupy a position? Are you with me? Is it correct? So like that. So these are the old account, or these are some of the old account, and this is what the shape is referring to here. So what you are supposed to give the as adult for it, you'll give what? The Dawud Abraham. You give the Dawud Abraham. What you're supposed to give to the Dawud Furuj, you want to give to Dawud Abraham. Because they are taking their position. If my sister is to take what? What is the inheritance of my sister? That's my paternal sister. What about my maternal sister? So the son of my sister will take what? The absence of my sister and the other Ashabis will. She will take what? Half. You get it? Just don't forget about rent. If you are having food and there is residue of the bequest, it is the side of the that will take what is left. The Dawim Mahari will come. But in the absence of the having food, the Dawim Mahari will come. They will be occupying the position of those people that what? That have armed food. Are you with me? So they will occupy their position. So in order to get. So as I said, I said those scholars who believe in a rod, I said the Malikiya and the Shafi'iya, they believe in what? Sorry? Now, so you don't believe in what? In rods. It will go to me, go to the man. So the Shafi'iya, the Malikiya do not believe in God. For the Shafi'iya believe in what? If go to man, the government is not managing it properly. They believe in what? In what? So the Hanabila, the Hanafiya, they believe in what? Rot. So those who believe in rot, they also believe in what? In Zawul Arham. They are together. So rot, if we still have Ashabul Furud. Rot, if we still have Ashabul Furud. In the absence of Ashabul Furud, Zawul Mahari will take their place. Huh? But the Malikiya, they said no. In the absence of the fruit, or if there is what? There is residue, the residue goes to Baitul Mal. The Shafi'i also said what? The residue goes to Baitul Mal. Unless if the government is mismanaging the funds, then in that case, we say it should go to the Ashab al Furud. That means the rod should go back to them. Is it clear? So, those who do not believe in rod do not believe in Dawud Arham. Those who do not believe in rod do not believe in Dawud Arham. Those who believe in rod believe in Dawud Arham. So it depends on which book or fiqh you are reading. If you are reading a book written by a Shafi'i or a Maliki, so you say that if anything left, you don't say to go to the magistrate. Then the reality of the Muslim benefits on the request of the person. But the Hanabila and the Hanabiya will say no. If I go to the reality of the people, there are people who are closer. So those people that are mentioned are closer to the deceased. So let them still benefit more. Let them still benefit more. Wa'ul arham ba'duhu awla bi ba'd. So these are all relatives. Let them benefit more. Like when Faraj bin Sa'd Abu Waqqas radiallahu anhu thought he was going to die. He said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have wealth and there is nobody to inherit me illa bintu, except the girl. Meaning she will inherit half of the property, farther, and she will inherit the remaining half right down. Are you with me? She will be one to inherit half of the property. Pardon. And she will want to take many half pardon. Because he said what? There is no one to inherit me except what? Allah bintu. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say no, the what he should be made, he should go to the Bait al-Mal. In fact, he wanted to do sadaqa with half of it. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Am sada'a wa rasataka agniya khairu min an sada'a wa ma'ala jazaka kafar humanis. For you to leave your heirs wealthy and independent is better than you leaving them relying on people. This makes the position of those who believe the word to the right to the more correct. So, likewise, Zawul Arham to be more correct. Because Zawul Arham are closer to the deceit than the generality of the Muslims. How do you explain? So contrary to the view of the Malikiya and the Shafi'iya. Though the later scholars among the Malikiya and the Shafi'iya are somehow teaching towards the position of the Hanabila and the Hanafiya. I think they are what also believing in Arab. Whoever does not add the one to inherit him is inheritance goes to Bait al-Mal, yusraf fil masalih al-amma wal-khassa. Whoever does not add the one to inherit him is wealth goes to the Bait al-Mal, yusraf fil masalih al-amma. This will be spent in what? In the public benefit. For God, for unfailing benefit. Huh? So, after we have processed the power of the Lord, what the Zawul Arham knows, Zawul Arham, then he goes to what? To the treasury. How is this plan? So, now if we want details and examples, we can go to the other books of the Qura'id, but just bear in mind this issue of the Tafsir al-Mas'ala. It's a complex thing that is trying to correct the Mas'ala, so bringing what they call just to stand. All these are the difficult aspects of the calculation, and that's why I said Hisab al-Fara'id is different from what? Ilm al-Fara'id. Ilm al-Fara'id, you can say so-and-so, you take so-and-so, so-and-so, you take so-and-so. But when you want to start to calculate it, one has to be very good or somehow good in mathematics to know how to do the placebo al-mas'ala. So it's something that is important. So, as I said, some scholars try to look for some simpler methods. Now we say what is the essay and what is the essay. If you look at the books of Qura'id, which is the Muslim essay, what they talk is An-Nisab al-Arba, the four Nisab. That is it Mudakala or Mubayana or Tamafun. Or what? Tawafuq. We talk about what? Tamafuq, Tawafuq, Tadakhul, and what? Tabayyun. So this is what they use in order to arrive at. But you can say what is the essence of all this, and you write, you get Asli Mas'ala. But then when you say what? You don't find in the book the essence. What you say is what? The Nisa. That is the way they will be able to get the Aslu al-Mas'ala. And when they get the Aslu al-Mas'ala, when they see that maybe they want to start sharing it, for instance, maybe two persons or three persons are to share two things. We have rules, three X to share what? Two. So are they going to share it? There will be fraction. So in this case, they will have to multiply with it what? The other two rules with what? With the ask. To get it? To get, so that there won't be any fraction. So this is to go back to the books you see it. So in the case of Munasakha, some scholars, if somebody dies and he leaves behind those who inherit him, and those who inherit, one of them dies again before sharing the property. So maybe before sharing the property, another one dies again. So they want to put everything in one, under one tabula, whatever, to share it at once. So some scholars are thinking that it is not necessary. Take this one, the first person that dies, share it, let everybody have their own share. Then one that dies after the first person, his own share, then share it among his inheritors again. Even another person dies among those people, you share, take his own share and share. I don't watch wanting to share everything together, and you have what? None. So the people in the past, I'm not talking of the Sahaba, they do not know this mathematical whatever that we're talking about. So it was later introduced, and this is the way they've been using it. So if one is good at mathematics, you're able to get what they are saying. Well, thanks. It's not compulsory that you do that method. Okay, you have to share dinner among the five people. So one of the five people died again. So meaning what? The dinner you are supposed to share among four people. If the remaining four people are the ones that inherit that same person that died. So meaning instead of sharing the dinner among five people, now we are going to share it among four people. Because these people are going to inherit the second deceased king. So like that. So, but some of the people share it first. Let us know his own portion. His portion is what? Two. Two. His own is what? Is two. Then his own two. Then you not take it and watch. If he doesn't have any other thing, apart from what he has inherited from, he will be father of the mother. Then you now watch. We share that too for other things among those who are his heirs. So that is simple, rather than what the big thing. But if you check some complex or some voluminous book of Torah, you see this Munasakha here. So let's go here. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. بسمك ما تقول for the lecture from our sheikh. May all that you allow continue to enrich you with more knowledge. We would like to pose the question, we'd like to inform us that the share that our Asatida, our 15 months, that share has broken, and we need to contribute and buy new ones. We are going to buy two, inshallah, but from our findings, we have realized that each of these chairs, there's a question here, so it is out of the topic of discussion. The question says, what is the Islamic view on artificial insemination? And secondly, please sir, kindly differentiate between Mazyu, Maniyu, and Wazyu.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ba'd. Artificial insemination, this
We can't say Islamic view. Islam does not have a view. Islam has a position. A scholar or a student of knowledge may have a view. So you say the view of so-and-so scholar is this. The view of so-and-so student of knowledge is this. But Islam has what? A position, a ruling. That is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you talk about views, you ascribe this in scholars. Your views may be correct and may be wrong. So you don't ascribe views to Islam. So, artificial insemination. This, according to some scholars, is not permissible. Because that will be tampering with the semen of a person. And the sperms there may be tampered with. This will be used for another person who is not somebody's wife, which will make the baby to be all of the zina. So and that's why people like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala keeps against it. However, majority of the scholars, particularly the Fiqh Academy, they have the opinion that this is permissible with strict condition. That is, the person that is going to this and somebody who is reliable, that is the one who is not going to tamper with it. The one who is not going to tamper with this. So if this is done, then wallahu alam, there is not one on the ditch. Wallahu alam. And what? Now the difference between Madhu, Wadhu and Mani. Mani is the seminal fluid. That is Mani. And this is thick. It comes out with a lot. That is, there will be sexual satisfaction or when it comes out of one. And it makes one become weak. It weakens one after it has come out. One observes fatigue in oneself when it comes out. And it is the one that becomes, that forms the child. So that is a mani. So if it comes out from a man or from a woman, the person becomes junub. And the person will have to take the ritual bath. So ablution is not enough. As for the madhu, this is a preseminal fluid. It's a fluid that comes before the semen, before the seminal fluid. So we call it the preseminal fluid. It comes before the semen. So it is light, it is not heat. One does not have fatigue after it has come out. But one may not even notice that it has come out. So it has the same ruling as urine. Meaning, you have to wash it. You have to clean your garment from it. So, and if you have ablution, your ablution is gone. You have to renew your ablution. Unlike the seminal fluid, it is not only your ablution that is gone. You have to take a ghusl if it comes out. But mani, according to most scholars, contrary to the Malikiya and the Hanafiya, mani is pure. Contrary to the Malikiya and the Hanafiya. But madhu is impure. Madhu is like urine in terms of ruling. Manilu is like the mucus, in terms of what? Ruling, according to the majority of the scholars, contrary to the Maliki and the Hanafiya. As for wadu is the thick fluid that comes out of the private part of some people after urination. After urination, it is thick. So they have said that some people will mistake it for manage. But the only thing is that one does not feel fatigue after it has come out. It has the same ruling as urine. It has the same ruling as urine. So allow it.
This person says that I want to tell the talk on the hadith that emphasizes on Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
It's not clear.
If the person wants to know more about Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the manhaj.
Now, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, these are the people who are upon the Sunnah. Wal Jama'ah, these are the people who are upon what the companions are upon. And this is where they got the name. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّهُمْ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافٌ كَثِيرًا. Whoever lives amongst you will see a lot of disagreements. فَعَلَيْكُمْ السُنَّةِ. Stick to my Sunnah. Stick to my Sunnah. So the one who decides to stick to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, avoiding the bid'ah that are in existence, we say the person is what? Ahlu Sunnah. Well, the jama'ah here is the companions. The jama'ah here also means the one who will not vote against the ruler. What will lead to the spilling of blood among the Muslims by voting against the ruler? They won't participate in it. It's among those that will bring the people behind what? Together behind the authority. They will not cause chaos in the land. They will not cause the spilling of blood. So they are called Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah because of this. So, and this is what they refer to as what? The Aqidah and the Manhaj. The Aqidah and the Manhaj. Your Aqidah and Manhaj must be in line with the Aqidah of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Because these are what? The people of Sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And the Tabi'un. These are the people of Sunnah. Any Islam that is different from this Islam is what? Is the Islam of the destroyed state. Any Islam different from the Islam practiced by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi and his companions, the Tabi'u, the Atba' Tabi'in, those who are referred to as the Salaf al-Salih. If your Islam is different from the Islam of these people, then you are among the destroyed states. Obviously, so it's simple. Now people may say, I'm Ahlul Sunnah. Everybody can claim. But what matters is what? Your actions. Your utterances and what? And your action and your belief. If your actions, utterances, belief are in line with the utterances, the beliefs, the actions of the Messenger of Allah, then you are truly Sunni. But if it differs from theirs, particularly in aspects of Aqidah and Manhaj, then you are not among the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You are among the Ahl Bid'ah wal Ahwa. And the Ahl Bid'ah wal Ahwa are those that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the was a prosperity. هذه الأمة أو هذه الملة على 73 فرقة أو ملة. This ملة is going to be divided into 73. He said what? سنتاني وسبعون في النار وواحدة في الجنة 72 بوغوتو ألف أموال بوغوتو الجنة. And he was asked, who are they? He said, Al-Jama'a. That is, we the Jama'a. We the Jama'a. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that فَإِنْ آمَنُوا مِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe in what you believe in, they are guided. وَإِتَوَلَّوْا. If you turn away from it, فَإِنَّمَا أُنْتُ شِقَاقٍ. Turning away from what you people believe in, will lead them towards shiqaq, lead them to opposing the truth. فَتَكْفِيكَ وَمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And Allah is going to survive through Muhammad, is all in, all in. So there are other evidences that establish this fact. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ وَشَهَدَ أَنْ لَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.